Let's read together this evening, Psalm 55. Psalm 55. Text for the sermon tonight will be the 22nd verse of the psalm. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Let's read the psalm together. The Word of God at Psalm 55. Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. Attend unto me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint and make a noise. Because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me. My heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. And I said, Oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. Lo, then would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness, Selah. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. Destroy, O Lord, and divide their tongues, for I have seen violence and strife in the city. Day and night they go about it upon the walls thereof. Mischief also and sorrow are in the midst of it. Wickedness is in the midst thereof. Deceit and guile depart not from her streets. For it was not an enemy that reproached me. Then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man mine equal, my guide, and mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked into the house of God in company. Let death seize upon them and let them go down quick into hell, for wickedness is in their dwellings and among them. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and He shall hear my voice. He hath delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for there were many with me. God shall hear and afflict them, even he that abideth of old, Selah. Because they have no changes, therefore they fear not God. He hath put forth his hands against such as be at peace with him. He hath broken his covenant. The words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet were they drawn swords. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. But thou, O God, shalt bring them down into the pit of destruction. Bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their days, but I will trust in thee. So far we read the inspired Word of God. Again, it's that 22nd verse that we meditate upon this evening, Psalm 55, verse 22. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, the question that we face tonight is, what do you do with the burden that God places upon you? What do I do with the burdens that I face in my life? That's the question that we are faced with in the Word of God tonight. And the Word of God gives us a very clear answer to that question. It gives us what we are called to do as the children of God in response to the burdens that we face in this life. And it's a very simple response. God says to us tonight, when you face burdens, cast that burden upon the Lord. But what is just as significant in this passage is the promise that comes along with that command. God says to us, do that. It's a command. We'll take note of that this evening. But He says to us as well, in the way of doing that, I give to you as my people this promise. You're my people. I love you. I brought you into a covenant relationship with me. And in the way of bringing before me the burdens that you face in this life, I promise to sustain you. I promise to keep you and ultimately keep you to the day that I bring you to glory. So we see this evening that very important calling that comes to us in the face of the burdens of this life. But we see tonight as well, right along with that, and just as important, the promise that God will always preserve us in this life. Let's look at Psalm 55:22 under the theme, cast your burdens upon the Lord. Or really, Jehovah. Cast your burdens upon Jehovah. We notice in the first place tonight the burdens. In the second place, let's see the calling. And then in the third place, let's see the promise that comes to us from God in this text. Cast your burdens upon Jehovah, the burdens, the calling, and the promise. Beloved, David had a burden, and it was a heavy burden. You have a burden. I have a burden. Every child of God faces burdens in this life. Psalm 55 was written by David, and David explains throughout the entirety of the psalm the struggle that he was facing. A burden, by definition, is something that you are called to bear. It's something that you put on your back. It's something that is heavy. It's something, therefore, that you feel all day long. And as a result, it makes you tired and weary. It's not a feather that you put on your back. And at the end of the day, you realize, oh, I had this feather on my back and I didn't even realize it as I went through the day. That's not a burden. A burden is something that you know is there, and it bears down upon you with crushing weight. David had a burden, and we can see from Psalm 55 what that burden was. At the beginning of the psalm, he talks about his enemies that sought to destroy him. Likely, David wrote Psalm 55 at the time that Absalom was attempting to usurp the throne. And so David, like was the case often in his life, was on the run, cave after cave, night after night, fleeing from an army that sought to take his life. Certainly part of the burden that he was struggling with at this time, wondering, would this be the day that Absalom's army finds me and catches me and kills me? We have to understand tonight that the burden that David faced was not especially the burden of having physical enemies attempt to take his life. Physical burdens are hard. But what is just as hard, often more difficult, are emotional burdens. Burdens that come as a result of difficulties and struggles in relationships. And that's what David experienced. He experienced that with Absalom. The struggle with Absalom was not, first and foremost, the fact that he had an army. And with that army, he was attempting to take David's life. The struggle with Absalom was the fact that this man, Absalom, was his son. And it was his son who was attempting to usurp the throne, and by virtue of that, it was his son that was rebelling against God and against His kingdom and ultimately against the Lord Jesus Christ. That was the struggle for David as it related to Absalom. Not the fact that it was a Moabite that came over and was attempting to take the throne, but it was his own son. The very one concerning whom he said in 2 Samuel chapter 18, verse 33, these words. 2 Samuel 18, verse 33. Upon his death, and the king was much moved and went up to the chamber over the gate and wept. And as he wept, thus he said, O my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would God I had died for thee, O Absalom, my son, my son. But in addition to that struggle that David was facing, we can find something else in Psalm 55, and that receives the emphasis of the text. In Psalm 55, David reveals that there was one that was close to him that betrayed him. It's likely the case that this was Ahithophel, who was a trusted counselor of David. But in addition to that, he was a friend of David. He was one that he worshipped God with, according to Psalm 55. Notice that in verses 12 through 14, for it was not an enemy that reproached me, then could I have borne it, neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man mine equal, my guide and mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked unto the house of God in company. And he goes on and talks about some other things in that respect. That was the struggle for David. Prophetic, therefore, of course, of the Lord Jesus Christ and the betrayal that took place by Judas Iscariot, a supposed friend, someone who was close to him. And what we see in that, therefore, people of God, is that Jesus relates to us. Jesus understands. He understands this particular struggle. But as our merciful and faithful High Priest, He understands everything that we go through as it relates to the burdens of this life. But the point, beloved, is that we can point to in David's life the burden that he was bearing at this particular time. Beloved, we face burdens. We face those things in our lives that bear down upon us and that we struggle with. And that shouldn't be a surprise to us. We make a mistake if it's a serious mistake. If our expectation is in this life is that we won't have burdens as we have been describing them for a few minutes already in the sermon. If that's our expectation, our life is going to be filled with anger and frustration and bitterness. This is part of the life of the child of God. If someone who was new to the Christian faith came to you and said, what's the Christian faith mean for you? What is it going to mean for me in a year, in 5 years, 10 years, as I strive to be faithful to my confession to the Lord Jesus Christ? We don't say to that person, it's going to be easy. We can talk about the joys and the excitement and the comfort that the gospel brings. And all of that's true, and we'll talk about that. But right alongside that, we're honest, and we have to say what the psalmist says elsewhere, many are the afflictions of the righteous. That's part of our lot in this life. It's part of our lot in this life on account, in the first place, of the fact that we live in a fallen world. If you look at every burden that you face and you trace it down to its very root, what is that root going to be? Beloved, what that root is going to be is sin. Now, I'm not making the point right now necessarily that the burden that you are facing is a burden on account of your sin directly. It's a consequence of your sin. That's not the point that I'm making right now. The point that I'm making right now is that it all goes back to sin. You have a burden on account of physical sickness. Why is that? It's sin. We live in a fallen world. And as a result of living in a fallen world, and as a result of Adam eating of that fruit, God said, you will die. That death is spiritual, but that death was physical as well. It's sin. You struggle with relationships. And oftentimes the struggle in our relationships, like we talked about here, is on account of sin. It's part of our lot in this world due to the fact that we live in a fallen world filled with sin. But there's more to it than that. The more to it is the fact that we live in this fallen world, as Psalm 55 verse 22 says, as the righteous. We're not just anyone in the midst of this world, but we're believers. And because we are believers, in addition to what I just said a moment ago, we have the onslaught of the world upon us that adds to the weight of the burden that we have to bear. That was David. David stood as a man who was righteous. Yes, David was a sinner, a great sinner, committed very serious sins like all of us do. But David was a man of God. And David was striving in his life to be faithful to the position that God put him as king. And it was on account of that faithfulness, his righteousness, that he received what he received, namely the betrayal of those that hated the kingdom of God and hated the Lord Jesus Christ. That was the lot for the Lord Jesus Christ during his life, particularly with his relationship to Judas Iscariot. And that's our lot in this life too. We can expect that and must expect that in our lives here on this earth. Beloved, we face burdens. And you don't need me to go on for 20 minutes tonight to explain what the burdens are that we face. We all have them. Some are similar to one another. Some are public. Some are private. We struggle with relationships, we struggle with sickness, we struggle with pain, we struggle with loneliness, we struggle with old age and the breakdown of the body, we struggle with being sinned against, very direct according to the passage. We struggle, and we have these weights bearing down upon us in this life. One more thing regarding these burdens. And this comes through not in the English translation of that word burden, but it comes through in the Hebrew word that is used and that is translated as burden. Very significantly, David uses a word in this passage that has as its root the idea to give. And what David, by using this word, is emphasizing is the fact that what he is experiencing in his life, as we described it and as we experience in our lives, in some respect is given to us. That's part of David's confession of faith through what he was experiencing. That he could go through what he was going through and at the same time, with faith, say that this thing that is on my back right now is given to me. And it's given to me by God. When we reflect upon what we go through in this life, we need to start there and be able to make that same confession. Even in light of what I just said a moment ago about the fact that we live in a fallen world, and that we have enemies that are seeking to destroy us. In the end, by faith, we have to be able to say this. That the struggle that I'm going through and the weight that I feel comes to me from God. And He is sovereign over it. And He is giving it to me in order to accomplish His perfect purpose. He gives it to us in His love, and we'll talk about that later. And He says to us in the text, now take that burden over which I am sovereign and cast it right back upon Me. We face a calling in this text. And we need to see at the outset that the question is not if we will go and do something with our burden. The question is, what will we do with the burden that we face in this life? What have we done in the past? What are we doing right now? What will we do tomorrow and throughout the rest of this week and throughout the rest of this life? Again, it's not if we will do something. We're going to do something. No questions asked. We always do something in response to the burdens that we face. The question is, what are we going to do with it? And here, we have what we are called to do with it. Not cast it upon something else. And that's what I was implying a moment ago. We always put it somewhere. We always do something in response. God says in this passage, this is what you must do. Cast it upon Me. It's a command. And the fact that this is a command is significant. God does not come to us tonight and say, here's an option for you. You're facing the struggles that I just described. Now here's an option. Like you can go to a doctor and you have symptoms that you can't quite nail down exactly what it is, and the doctor knows. It could be this, it could be that, and in light of that, here's option one, pros and cons of that. Here's option two, pros and cons of that. Here's option three, pros and cons of that. And now, in light of the knowledge that I give to you, what do you think is the best thing to do, and what do you want to do? That's not what God does to us tonight. He says very emphatically, there's one thing to do. When you're struggling with the weight of a burden upon you, and He commands us, do this. We need to hear it as a command tonight because we know our natures. We know very well that we have a nature that is very much prone to do something very different than what this passage says. And this is where idolatry comes into play. We are tempted, instead of casting our burden upon God, to cast our burden upon an idol. And I use the word idol very specifically because, or very purposely, because an idol can be anything. I don't have to say, first and foremost, going to a sin, something that is explicitly sinful, because that's not necessarily the only thing that is forbidden in a passage like this. An idol can be anything. Anything that we go to find relief that is not God. And that anything doesn't have to be something that in and of itself is sinful. Yes, there are those types of things. It's a very strong temptation for some to take the burdens of this life and to cast them upon some substance, so that at least for a few minutes, we get some sense of relief from the struggle that we are going through. Something explicitly sinful. But it doesn't have to be that. We're tempted to cast our burden upon work, for example. Just bury yourself in your work. 6 days a week, from the moment you get up to the moment that you go to bed, all you do is put your head down and work so that you don't have to put your head up. And when you put your head up, you face the real burden that is in your life. A huge one is entertainment, sports, pleasure. You go through your day at work and because you don't want to face anything, you plop down on the couch, you pull out the remote, you turn the TV on or you get your computer and you put it on your lap. And you simply bury yourself in another world created by actors or actresses or on a field or in a gym. We're tempted all the time throw our burden to find some relief and something very different than God. And because of that temptation, God doesn't give a suggestion. He says, this is what you must do. Cast it upon me. And the important part of this is the fact that it's upon Jehovah. That's literally who is referred to in the passage there. Jehovah, Lord, all capital letters. And that name is so significant in this text because it emphasizes His sovereignty. I am that I am. He's the eternal God. And as the eternal God, He's sovereign over all, sovereign over your life, my life, everything that takes place in it. But right alongside that, what is emphasized in this name is His covenant nature. He's our covenant God who loves us in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the God who gave His Son to the death of the cross so that He can call you and He can call me friend. And so that He can bring us unto Himself in the closest possible relationship that we experience now and will experience into all eternity. Jehovah emphasizes that work of Jesus on the cross to bring us unto God in a relationship of friendship. Beloved, that's the one that we are casting our burden upon. The sovereign God who is eternal over all. And that God that says, I love you and you are my friend in the Lord Jesus Christ. Bring it to me, He says in the passage. What we're to do is pray. Cast your burden upon the Lord is a description of prayer. Whole psalm emphasizes prayer. But this right here is a description of what it means for us to fold our hands and close our eyes if we're in a private place by ourselves or on the road, even just speaking in the car or wherever we are, because we can pray without ceasing, of speaking to God. Very striking language that He uses here. One of the most vivid descriptions of prayer in the Scriptures. Cast it upon the Lord. Literally, throw it to the Lord. Fling it to God, He says in this passage. Prayer, I read in preparation for this sermon, is the burdened believer unburdening himself to Jehovah. And that's exactly what this is. And beloved, we can understand this. We can understand this because we do this with each other. Sometimes it can be difficult for us because we are earthly creatures and we think only in terms of this earth. And sometimes it's hard for us to comprehend, for example, God as a spiritual being and the fact that we pray to Him and Christ in heaven who is really there in His body. But we can understand this when we make the analogy to what we do on this earth. And the analogy for us on this earth is the fact that we do this all the time. We're always casting our burdens upon each other. That's the value of having a close friend. We know the help that we can receive when we are struggling. Not to vent, but simply because we're struggling and we need to talk to someone. And so we go to that person and we say to them, I'm struggling. And this is what I'm struggling with. And this is how I'm struggling. And we know that there's relief in doing that. That's something that we can relate to. And now, we apply it to this passage. And we're not talking to someone who's a man, a mere man. We understand that we can do that exact same thing in prayer to Jehovah. The Word of God tonight take your burden. Bring it to God in prayer. The entire psalm emphasizes that. It emphasizes that at the beginning, give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. Attend unto me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint and make a noise. And then he says in verses 16 and 17, as for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud. And hear, he shall hear my voice. With that comes a wonderful promise from God. The promise from God in the text is the end. And He shall sustain thee. And He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. The promise of God is that we will be kept. The burden is a weight. It bears down upon us. And so the promise is, you'll be sustained. You'll be strengthened. You will not be moved. You will not fall and be destroyed and crushed by that burden. Now notice what the promise is not. The promise is not, I will remove the burden from your life. Never is that the promise of God. He may, for a time, remove it entirely so that you had this particular burden for a time. It was there, you got through it, and now you move on. That may be the case, but that's not what God promises, and that's not what we must expect in our lives. The promise is that He will sustain you. He will keep you underneath that burden. He shall. Absolute confidence. And this goes back to the one that we're bringing this to. It goes back to the fact that it's Jehovah. You're not bringing it to a man who may say to you, I'll try. I hope I can help. But then in the end is weak. We're bringing this to God, who is all-powerful, more powerful than the heavy burden that is bearing down upon you. We need to face the question of how this works. Why is this the case? Why is it the case that in the way of flinging to God our burdens, what comes right along with that is that we will be sustained. What is not the case is that our prayers change God. It's not the case that when we pray, we offer these petitions, and we may not have done that before, but now we do it, and all of a sudden, because they reach God, now God changes His plan, and He makes it easier for you, and you're able to sustain underneath the burden. That's not how this works. The reason that in the way of prayer we are sustained is that prayer is an activity of faith. And when we face the burdens of this life by faith, it's that faith which is our union to Christ and the power of our new life. It's that faith that keeps us in our life through the burden. God uses prayer to keep us strong in the midst of the struggles of this life. In prayer, when we're going through a struggle, what we are doing by virtue of praying is acknowledging God in and of itself. We're acknowledging His presence. We're acknowledging His sovereignty. In the activity of prayer, by faith, what we are doing is acknowledging that He is sovereign over the very thing that I am going through. Through the activity of prayer, which is the manifestation of our faith, in addition to that, we're making very clear, I am nothing. I only come to this God in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, through that prayer, I am expressing the fact that I know that God loves me in the Lord Jesus Christ and promises to do only good to me and save me. In the activity of prayer, we are saying what we talked about earlier. This is given to me by God. In the activity of prayer, when I throw this back to God, I'm laying before Him all of my struggles that I am having through this. Which, in and of itself, is something God uses to help us. In the activity of prayer, I'm confessing my sins in the midst of the struggle that I'm going through. The point, beloved, is that when we're praying, we are living by faith through the struggle of this life. Faith being our union to Christ and the power of Christ in us. And it's that power that God uses to keep us in the midst of what we are going through. The Word of God to us tonight is face the burdens of this life by prayer and therefore by faith. And if you can't pray in yourself, by yourself, go to someone who can. Because that's faith too. The desire to pray is faith. Go to someone. Seek their help. Because we need someone to bring us through the struggles of this life. Beloved, we face burdens. They're heavy. They're very difficult. We all have them. Take them and do one thing with them. Cast them upon the Lord and do so with the confidence that He will sustain you. Because He loves you. He's Jehovah. He's your covenant friend in the Lord Jesus Christ who promises never to abandon you, to care for you in all things. Amen. Our Father which art in heaven, we thank Thee for the ability to hear Thy Word this evening. And we pray, Lord, that Thou wilt bless the Word that is as it was brought tonight. Pray that Thou forgive what was said or done in sin, for Jesus' sake. Amen.